50 years, we put a lot of strong emphasis on the family values, because we do hear some of the connotations that are there from the Bhagavatam, you know, the dark hole syndromes, you know, that. But there's another side to it that we have to address. And I know those religious communities that are very successful are the ones that put a lot of emphasis on strong family values. So I'd like to see a little bit more of that being emphasized by from the leaders, and just, you know, we talk about it a lot more and what that means, because that's what holds people together. That's very attractive. That's the backbone of our society, when you have strong families, and then you have strong communities, and then you have strong countries. So that's just kind of like a what I would like to suggest. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. You know, I more like, I just have one comment. When we were doing research for ISKCON 50, I think it's feedbacking here. When we were doing research about ISKCON 50, the team of Ananda Mahaprabhu and Pancharatna Prabhu and many of the devotees were discussing. So one thing we learned, which is very unique, that I didn't hear from any of the speakers earlier that I would like to share, is the 50th year or Golden Jubilee is not an ordinary event. In a history of mankind, if we look back 2,000 years, 3,000 years, the organization, or in a modern world, companies like IBM or so forth, those who have crossed 50th year, they tend to stick around for years and years and years. Like, for instance, Procter & Gamble Company was started about 60 years ago, and they are still around. They might manufacture typewriting machines, but now they are manufacturing some software or aeroplane or whatever. Same way, the religious organization in a history of mankind who have crossed this threshold of 50 years, they have continued. Like one famous example is Catholic Church. So please pause, take a deep breath, and think about what we have achieved as a movement. This enlightened personality, Srila Prabhupada's disciples, who are with us today, what they have gone through is just immense. We can't even contribute what they have done. All these Maharajas like Bhaktisundara Maharaj and Ramabhadra Swami and Mataji's Prabhus, Vaisheshika Prabhu and all. So we have something very special, very unique going for us as a grand disciple of Srila Prabhupada. And let's get very excited about this 50th year. And take a internalization of this and meditate that what we can do, that Maharaj said, Bhakti Maksimarao just said, what are we going to do in the next 50 years? So congratulations to all of us who are part of this movement, but we have a big task ahead. So I'll stop here. Thank you.
Well, I just want to exactly mention the same thing that Bhakti Margaswami Maharaj mentioned. As soon as you said that what area that we did not contribute, I was thinking about marriage. I'm not saying there was a zero contribution, but now that Prabhuji was also speaking, I thought maybe it's a good idea that we measure what is going on as far as the marriage throughout this year, and since we have this festival again next year, the 50th anniversary of ISKCON, we could really track what is happening, because I can see so many devotees, when it comes to marriage, they kind of feel lonely, they kind of feel like there's no specific support from ISKCON for me. Now I have to go to, some people says go to Jyotish, some people say this person is good in Jyotish, some people say, well, Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj totally gave up Jyotish, Srila Prabhupada said this. I mean, it's like, then what should I do? So we ended up talking with some other people outside ISKCON, which are giving us so many nice things, but without any source of. So this is, I guess, one thing that maybe we could track, and it would be great if for the next year we have a special focus on this phenomenon.
I'd like to respond to that. As a grandmother of four grandchildren and two sons, and having had been involved in this movement, but also as a grihasta or a vanaprastha or whatever you want to call it, I've always lived in the temple. I've somehow raised my children in a room. I haven't had any facilitates. My husband and I never shared a home or a room. And our whole focus on raising children was preaching, because this is a preaching mission. So it's not, being a householder in ISKCON is not a different track than being a brahmachari or sannyasi. It's a renounced order of life where we are raising children to be a benefit to society. They go to the program. They hear Krishna Katha. When you're bored to death sitting with your three-year-old and you don't know what else to do because you can't sit in Bhagavatam, well, you start singing. My oldest son, some of you may know him, he did the Bhakti Kirtan Shakti album just recently to support the Vrindavan Girls School. And he sings all the time. But he got that because he grew up in an environment where there was always someone singing kirtan. And part of that was my survival skills as a woman alone in a community. My husband generally had temples filled with brahmacharis, and I was usually the one woman, at least the one woman with children. But I participated as much as I could. I had a Malabhakta playing, and now we live in Los Angeles with a Malabhakta. My son is almost 30, and he just touches his feet. God, I grew up on you. I heard you my whole life. While I was playing blocks and Lego and stuff, I had a Malabhakta and I had tapes. So it's not a different... I think there's a confusion about what Grihastha life is. It's preaching. Intentionally conceiving children with the view that they are going to be greater than us, having the start that they have. Prabhupada said that if a person becomes a Mahajan, they need to start right from birth, if not in the womb, to become as great as Srila Prabhupada. So we have opportunities to create more children like Srila Prabhupada by being parents like Srila Prabhupada's parents. You just need to make one Mahabhagavat as a Grihastha family. I mean, if you think that it's more powerful to try and train brahmacharis who have been breaking the principles for 25 years, you think that's more beneficial than raising a child who's never eaten meat, who's never heard anything but Krishna Katha, who's never seen anything but worship of the deity? You better think about that, because you have, in Ireland there's a saying, the person who rocks the cradle rules the world. You are creating this future by creating pure devotee children. It's really powerful preaching. And while you're doing it, it's slow. It's not as passionate as being out there on the front line doing book distribution. It's very slow, you think. But gradually, you know, you start to see when they grow up, they start teaching you. You know, you start getting old, and both of my sons have become incredible teachers to me. And to see their children, I mean, Prabhupada said, the children of your children can't be Maha-Nitya Siddhas because they've had association with you. The children of your children have the potential of being Nitya Siddhas. So who are these children who are taking birth in this movement? They're amazing. I have this one-year-old grandson who's just been deported yesterday to Mexico. I don't know if I'll ever see him again. But he is the delight of the new Dwarka temple. The whole community is grieving him, because he's clearly a special person. I don't say this as a grandmother. I have lots of children. This particular kid has from the moment he's been conceived, been surrounded by Krishna Katha. And the devotees are all lining up to babysit this kid. I'm not kidding. So I'm just saying, don't, as householders, don't ever think that what you're doing is less than. It's a preaching mission.
Would you like to add something? On the topic in general, would you like to add something? I'm sure.
On the topic of householder life?
No, the topic of ISKCON's gift to the world. Anything. Your thoughts.
Well, I was thinking when Mataji was speaking, and when you were speaking about example. And we have this super lofty philosophy and culture, lifestyle that we want people to live and all that. And as a whole society, sometimes our, you know, it can be found that the example is not there, although the precept is there. And we say example is better than precept. So I was wanted to ask a question. I know you wanted me to say something, but a question would be that what do you think is the thing that most attracts the conditioned soul to Krishna consciousness? Those of all the things that we can do, we can have prasadam, we can have chanting, we can give philosophy. What is that one, is, do you think is the most attractive thing that will attract the conditioned soul to Krishna consciousness the most?
Really simple. Relationship in one word, or add an adjective, loving relationship. We will, Nityananda was sharing yesterday, one of the parts that I play in our North American, you know, guys that think that they're leaders or something like that, is look to the future and say what's out there and help our leaders look towards that. So with this ISKCON 50, it's going to happen, even if we just kind of like don't do things right. It's going to happen anyway. What to speak if we do some things right? A lot of people are going to start coming. And we need to be prepared to receive those people that come and at least have them, as I said before, Hare Krishna people are nice. Because they'll come back again if they have a good experience and they'll look for that person with whom they had the good experience. Along with, you know, the deities in the temple and the prasadam and the kirtan. It's the relationship. Every one of us have had that experience, I'm sure. When we first started coming, there was somebody. And then, you know, then it can work the other way. Some people have shared with me, I used to come to the temple for like 3 months and nobody said boo. And then somebody said, oh, I've seen you come around, let's spend a little time together. And then they started coming regularly to see that person. And then that person helped them. So, and we're going to have this big flood of people coming in. That are just like, maybe they're not so committed, just curious. Hey, what's this about? I heard that the ISKCON's been around for 50 years. Good or bad, they're going to be around some more. So they'll come, anyway, whatever the thought process, they'll come. And those persons that just say the Hare Krishna people are nice. That there's this, I heard Prabhupada give a lecture, and I'll end with, but it's the same, this is a relationship. Where Krishna is speaking to Balaram about the trees in Vrindavan during summer, and the trees are worshipping Balaram, and you know that they're laden with fruit and they're paying their obeisances to you, Balaram, and you know glorifying the trees. And he said these are actually saints, because what a saint does is they serve others, and he gives four ways: with their life, with their wealth, with their intelligence, or with their words. And Prabhupada gave a lecture on that verse. And the conclusion, punchline is, at least when people interact with us, they should, with their words, say, Hare Krishna people are nice. Because that's going to go around. And then, you know, that's the beginning for them. And then, just like Krishna Kripa said, you know, they don't forget. And then they share with other people, then they meet devotees. So it's going to help the mission of our founder Acharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission if that one thing is, you know, and sometimes we're nicer to the guests than we are to the fellow devotees. That's a problem. Because the guest says, well, I think I'm going to continue being a guest because these people don't get along so well with one another. I'm just going to keep being a guest. So we need loving relationships. It's the most attractive thing. You know, similar to what Bhakti Mark Swami was saying. They see how we conduct ourselves. There's so much to say on that topic, but we're past our time.
Thank you very much, everybody, for this program, especially the